One Auckland MP, Chloe Swarbrick, is calling this current Auckland Council budget the most significant in living memory, and that is certainly the case for one organisation. Submissions are rolling in against a proposal to cut funding to Auckland Citizens Advice Bureau. Auckland Council is currently consulting on a plan to cut the organisation's $2 million in annual funding as part of a wider effort to curb education and community spending. Advocates for the mostly voluntary run service say the loss of funding would sound the death knell for the service, and the city's 32 offices would likely be forced to be shut or forced to shut by Christmas. Last year, Auckland's 880 volunteers helped 163,000 people, providing support and informing clients of their rights across a range of everyday issues. That includes people's rights in relation to immigration, housing and tenancy problems, benefit entitlements, employment disputes and relationship issues. The Auckland Council has a budget deficit of $295 million. For the forthcoming financial year, and is looking to cut $20 million of regional services such as community and education programs. Kate Anderson is General Manager of the Central Auckland's Citizens Advice Bureaus. Kia ora, Kate.
Kia ora, Catherine.
So $2 million from Auckland Council. Can you explain what you get from various entities in more detail?
So Auckland Council provides just over $2 million, and that funds the operational delivery on the ground in Tamaki Makaurau, Auckland, across those 32 sites. It also provides, in most cases, our premises as well. But we also receive central government funding, which funds the kind of infrastructure from which we operate from. So that goes to CABNZ, our national office, funds our website, our database of information, our learning and development systems, that kind of thing. So we've always viewed our services kind of being in partnership with both central government and local government here in Auckland.
And how does it work at the 32 sites in Auckland? Are they like kind of centrally managed? Are they quasi-independent? How does it work?
Okay, so that's a good question. So the whakapapa of Citizens Advice Bureau is that it's set up in a community by a community for a community. So if you imagine that in regional New Zealand, it makes a lot of sense. In Tamaki Makaurau, Auckland, over time there have been various kind of mergers according to, you know, it's happened because of local government funding requirements, that kind of thing. So, for example, our group of 10 that I manage in the central Auckland area is in the old Auckland City Council boundaries, and Auckland City Council wanted us to be one entity. So we're one incorporated society. There's a group of six or seven on the North Shore, five out west, and then in the south of Auckland, they're actually individual bureau. So it's complicated, but we've got still that whakapapa, that connection to community. The people who work and volunteer in each site are from, you know, that local community.
So explain that. Is there a small number of salaried staff, but actually many of the people making this happen aren't getting paid at all?
Yes. There's a very small number of salaried staff, and that's pretty much what, you know, that many of the costs are, you know, in our bureau. So, for example, our 10, we run at a cost of something like $65,000 per site. We keep the doors open. We're there open, you know, 5 days a week or 6 days a week in some instances, there for the public. And all we can afford is for a salaried staff member to be there half the time. And our branch managers are amazing. They you know, if you think about a manager of a site, often you'd have, you know, one or two employees that report to you. These people manage 45, you know, plus some in some instances volunteers, and they're different every day. Different person in the morning, different couple of people in the afternoon. And so our managers are amazing, but so are our volunteers, of course.
And how are their skill sets developed and maintained? They're providing, you know, pretty important advice to people, some of it to do with legislation or rights, tenancy rights, immigration rights. How are they trained and skilled?
Thanks. Another good question. So our volunteers, you know, first of all, we've got to be really careful who we select to be a volunteer. It doesn't suit everyone. You've got to be really patient. You've got to be really empathetic. You've got to be a details person who, you know, who wants to get it right. So selection of volunteers is really important. And then they also need to make a commitment, not only to the initial training and ongoing training, but to turn up, you know, once a week for their morning or afternoon shift. The training takes on average about 6 months before we let a volunteer deal with a client inquiry on their own. Other than that, prior to that, they're working alongside a mentor. So, you know, there was an article in, earlier this week on Stuff where the our volunteers were painted as sort of kind old ladies in cardigans. And really, while we do rely, you know, heavily on that retired, you know, many of our volunteers are retired because they've got the capacity and the time to do it. They bring with them all the professionalism from their careers. They bring with them their commitment to getting things right. And, you know, they're really diverse. They're a diverse bunch. And we do have quite a lot of diversity in terms of age as well.
So 163,000 people a year or visits a year, appointments a year? Like, how many? What's your reach?
Yeah, that's 163,000 people walking through the door.
So, individual, you know, people, though, because some might come through two or three times.
Correct.
Okay, yes. So 163,000 Aucklanders using this service every year. And give us a little bit more detail. I'm sure this waxes and wanes depending on what's going on in the world. At the moment, what kind of advice are people seeking?
Yeah, so sort of across our group of 10, you know, usually the top kind of five things would be dealing with relationships, so helping people with, you know, divorces, child custody, financial separations, that kind of thing. Employment issues, so a lot of issues around, you know, how people are being treated in the workplace, how many hours they're working, whether they, you know, there's just multiple different inquiries in each of those categories. Employment would be the third issue. Immigration would be the fourth. And then across all of the CABs across Auckland, the fifth one would vary, and it would vary from time to time, you know, depending on what's happening out there. So it might be financial difficulties, it might be consumer issues, it might be, you know, some just access to justice, legal issues, for example. But if I was to talk about those top five, that's how we categorise our inquiries, categories of inquiries, they usually make up less than 50% of what we do. So, you know, that's one of the reasons our volunteers really enjoy their mahi, because they turn up on any given day and they really have no idea what's going to walk through the door, what the problems someone might come, you know, arrive with.
Do you have access also to multilingual staff, or can you access and provide support with English as a second language people as well?
Yes, we can.
Well. Yeah, okay.
So we've got a great internal system in that if someone is on duty somewhere in the country and they speak a second language, so if someone was to walk into our Central Auckland branch and they needed someone who speaks Spanish, for example, it might be that we reach out to someone in the Hamilton Citizens Advice Bureau and get them on the phone to help.
Okay.
In our Mount Roskill branch, we have got 47 volunteers and they speak 21 different languages. So, you know, quite a lot of diversity within our volunteers as well.
Interestingly, someone's run the ruler over this, and it's an organisation, I think, that was established by a former finance minister and a former prime minister, actually, and someone who is very big on social investment. Impact Lab, I think that's got a connection to former Prime Minister Bill English. Did it do an analysis of value for money of the CABs?
Yes. So what it did was it looked at the social value that our service generates from the support that we offer to people. And because we help people, Catherine, we help people with anything. People can come in and ask us anything at all. You know, it was a really hard, it was almost impossible to evaluate the entire service. So that report just looked at that one category, that area of relationships. And within that, there's just, you know, a whole lot of different issues, of course. But what it found was that for every dollar it cost to deliver the service, that we generated $13.20 of social value. And that's that person walking out the door, you know, their anxiety's down, their stress is reduced, they have a bit more hope for the future, they know what their next steps are, and they know they can come back if they need help with those next steps as well. So it's trying to provide a value to what they walk out with.
I guess the question is, who should be providing it? And this is where I've heard Auckland's mayor mention several times of several different initiatives under the microscope. This should be funded by central government. And is there an argument for that?
Well, it's interesting. So under the Auckland Council's own, well, under the Local Government Act, for example, the Auckland Council is required to promote the social, economic, environmental and cultural well-being of communities. So that community well-being is one of the critical functions of local government. In the Thriving Community Strategy, their own strategy that was developed, updated in 2022, you know, Auckland Council says it's committed to increasing whānau and community financial security, increasing access and participation, growing community connection and increasing community resilience. So we see that the Citizens Advice Bureau, Bureau Service does a lot of that. You know, we uphold people's dignity and allow them to participate in society. Otherwise, they're locked at home with no hope and nowhere to go.
I can still hear the argument being made, undoubtedly. It's an argument, as we said, that the Mayor at least seems to be making of any number of initiatives currently under the microscope. I think Wellington went through this situation a few years ago. Wellington Council was considering no longer funding premises, right? But changed its mind. So what happens if that $2 million gets pulled in the budget? What would you do?
I mentioned before that there's the different sort of slightly different structures across Tamaki Makaurau Auckland as the Citizens Advice Bureau. So we have got my group of 10. At the end of 30 June, we've got 6 months of operating expenses in the bank. So we won't last very long. Of course, as soon as, the other thing, Catherine, is that we are 15 months into a 3-year funding agreement we had with Auckland Council. So this has been a real surprise to us. You know, we've got a funding, that they could consider that this funding agreement could be essentially broken. And we've just had no time to prepare. We found out just before Christmas, people have said, are you trying to find other money? Well, no, not at the moment. I'm busy fighting this. You know, that's all of my time is out there talking to people, letting people know that they need to submit, they need to, let people know what's going on and fight this funding cut, because if it cuts, we will be closed. And that line you said at the beginning, we'll be gone by Christmas. Our group of 10 certainly will. There might be a couple of others in Auckland that might last a little bit longer than that. But basically, without this funding, I really don't think we have any future.
Kate, thank you. Ngā mihi, that is Kate Anderson, who is General Manager of the Auckland Central CABs, about 10 of them out of 32 across Tamaki Makaurau, Auckland.